my advice is that to not be so attached to what you think your purpose is. So there can be one stage of life where you feel pretty certain about what your purpose is, but the reality is, it's not for all of us that we are supposed to maintain that same purpose throughout our lives. There can be iterations and a process of refinement that goes along the way. So to be okay with the fact that that purpose or this idea of that purpose statement that we may have can evolve over time, that's something that I feel is very important for people on that path to remember.
Hello, my name is Wing, and welcome to A Work in Purpose, the podcast for you to hear inspiring stories of how people have found their purpose in life and insights and tips on how you can find yours too. So, if you've been listening to this podcast since the beginning, you would know that my purpose in being a work in purpose is still relatively new for me. It was the pandemic just last year that really ignited the fire inside of me. And I know there's still so much for me to learn, to explore, and to figure out as I continue on this journey. A big part of why I started this podcast was so that you can join along with me on this journey, so that we can all discover and reach our purposes together. My hope is that by sharing inspiring stories from those who have found their purpose and sharing the actual steps they took to embody it, it will demystify the many paths that we can all take to find our own purpose. So I'm really excited to introduce our guest this episode, Mick Lodakonda. Mick had been pondering about the idea of purpose for almost the last 10 years. He has even written a book about it called The Purpose Roadmap. In the book, he laid out clearly all the learnings and wisdom he had accumulated along the way to give us the insights and practical tips on how we can find our own purpose. And he's also a life coach who helps people to discover and live out their purpose. We have a great interview coming up where you can learn about the differences between a purpose versus a calling, why it's important to distinguish the two, what are the benefits of knowing your purpose, and why do you even need one? You'll also learn what are some techniques or habits you can use to get you closer to your purpose, and how do you even get started in charting your purpose roadmap. Plus, you'll hear his story of how he became a work in purpose when a pivotal event in 2012 had set Mick back to the lowest point in his life, and how he managed to turn that around to live out his ideal and purposeful life today. So, let's get started. Hello, welcome to A Work in Purpose, Mick Lodakonda. I'm so excited to speak with you.
Yes, same here, Wayne. I was looking forward to our chat.
Yes. So I wanted to talk to you because you wrote this really cool book on purpose called The Purpose Roadmap. And you have tons of great insights on how to find your purpose. And you lay it out so clearly. So I have some questions to ask you about the book and sharing your insights on how we can find a purpose. So let's begin by defining what is the difference between purpose and calling. You've made a distinction between the two. Can you share more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So that's something that I had a little trouble figuring out myself at the beginning. But once I was able to notice the difference between the two, it really made a difference in my life. And the way that I differentiate the two is, purpose is, if we can think about it, is very much our North Star, that thing that we feel is ours, that we feel we are called to do, and that contribution that we can make in our lifetime so that when we look back, we can say, you know what, I feel that I did what I was supposed to do with my life. And the calling, at least the way I like to think about it, is actually the vehicle. And what I mean by the vehicle is that there are any number of ways in which we can accomplish something. So for instance, an example that I like to use is if someone has the purpose of, for instance, curing cancer, well, that is a purpose in itself. However, there are many ways to go about it. And because of our different, skills, abilities, and even experience, the way that we go about it may be totally different. So someone may have a vehicle, we'll say a calling of being a researcher in that field. For someone else to work in a lab in some sort, for someone else to be a statistician, for instance, and just gather data. So that's why on my end, I really like to make the difference, because when I found that earlier on, when I didn't separate the two, I would confuse the two, and next thing you know, I would be put in positions where I would think, okay, well, I'm doing this thing, but I don't really feel like it's my purpose, and or I feel that I have a purpose, but whatever I'm doing doesn't feel like it's connected to it. So the ability to differentiate the two really allow me to see how interconnected they are and how, as such, we can really make the difference between, okay, number one, I have a purpose. And number two, what is that vehicle that is going to help me fulfill that purpose?
Yeah, that's a very good distinction. So what can we do to better identify what is our purpose and our calling? What are some questions we can ask ourselves?
Yes. So when it comes to the purpose, that it can definitely be a little tricky, but I like to believe that some of us are very fortunate. Very early on in our lives, we just know what we're supposed to do. You know, a good example and a more extreme example are maybe some of these kids geniuses, for instance, or prodigies, right? Early on, everyone knew what they were supposed to do, and they ended up being these genius in whatever field that they ended up being in. But for others, it can take a little longer. And I feel like that for most of us, as we grow older, looking back at our lives, by doing that, we can actually see some of the, I like to call them the crumbs, and some of those clues that really can put things into perspective for us and make us go, oh, now I see how everything is interconnected and makes sense. And looking at our life experience, then we can really see that, okay, there are some patterns that are really giving us insights into what our direction in life is and really what it is that we should be doing. So that's it. So this is the part with the purpose. When it comes to the calling, this is where I think it's very important to get in touch with ourselves and really see, for one, what are the things that we're drawn to tangibly in terms of the things that we enjoy doing, the things that we are naturally good at, and really pay attention to that, because that can lead us into the different line of work maybe that we might do. It can lead us into maybe the different type of causes that we are drawn to and we'll have to dedicate our time to. So really looking at some of our own attributes and paying attention particularly to what people around us are telling us. I know when you can probably think of instances where you're doing something or you've been helping someone and people tell you, you know what, you're really good at this, or they keep on coming back to you for whatever reason. But to you, it feels so natural and almost so simple that you just overlook it and go, oh, it's no big deal. Those are the things that really we have to pay attention to. And those are the pointers towards what really our calling and the vehicle that we must use can be.
Interesting. So in general, for most people, would it be better to figure out your purpose first or your calling first? Or how should we think about it?
You know, I wish there was a formula for that, because our lives, each of our lives are so unique, and we're thrown into so many different life circumstances, and that I feel that it's not necessarily possible to have that formula, but because sometimes people will have their calling, their vehicle, they are in it, but they don't feel that they have a purpose or don't know what their purpose is. And so in that case, naturally, they'll want to look for their purpose. And sometimes people, well, they know what their purpose is, but they have no clue what their calling or the vehicle is. So naturally, in that case, they will go the other way and try to figure out what is that calling and or vehicle, right? So that's why I say there is no real formula for it. But the common denominator, though, is wherever you find, whichever situation we find ourselves in, that's our own starting point. And that is going to make it obvious for us to know whether we should focus on. And we all also have to pay attention to what we're feeling inside and where our heart or soul or spirit is pulling us towards, to determine whether we're pulled towards getting clarity around the vehicle that we should use, or being clear on what our purpose is, because then it is going to give us that needed direction.
I see. So taking a step back, why should we even figure out what our purpose is? How does it benefit us? Like, why can't we just live out our calling and call it a day?
Yeah, And you know, my answer may make some people maybe a bit resentful or maybe disappointed. At the end of the day, we really don't have to. Because I firmly believe that, you know, as we get to live our lives, you know, unless something absolutely extreme happens to us in our lives, we're going to be okay. However, for some of us that feel that something is really calling at us and that there's a sense of unrest, for some of us who feel like we have some sort of contribution to make and that would make the whole of a difference in our lives, then yes, for those of us, it is important to start looking for answer and really just moving in that direction.
And can you share like some of the benefits that people who might be longing for a purpose will get once they kind of found it and are working towards their purpose? Can you share some in the books? Can you share some of them?
Absolutely. One of the big benefits that I've found is that it really helps. The biggest thing is that it adds context to our lives. Because you remember earlier I mentioned sometimes people are in their vehicle, their calling, but they feel that they don't have a purpose simply because they cannot articulate it or have someone help them be clear on that. Well, that's because they are missing the context, which the purpose, that's the function of having a purpose. It adds context to whatever we do. So that's why you may find someone who's already in their vehicle, and then once they figure out what their purpose is, they go, oh, now it makes sense why I do what I do. And then next thing you know, their energy gets focused and they get even more intentional and dig their heels even, or their roots even deeper within what they are doing. So that is one of the biggest benefits of knowing what our purpose is.
Great. And let's go back to the starting point that you brought up. So where should we go from that starting point? I know that in your book, you talk about going inward, right? Yes. Would that be the first step to go more inward?
Absolutely. Definitely. The reason why I say that is because it's interesting. When I started my journey, when I had the lowest point of my life around 2012, 2013. So a bit of context. At the time, I was engaged to be married. Things fell apart. And next thing you know, so I was living in Vancouver at the time. And because of the aftermath of the separation, I had to get back to living in Edmonton. And at that time, you know, naturally, I was thinking of, you know, how am I going to figure out my next steps? It felt like I had no sense of direction. I didn't know what I would do next. It felt like whatever was ahead of me was like this huge, this the tallest mountain I could ever imagine being in front of, so high that I couldn't even see the summit because, you know, clouds were cutting it off and it felt so steep. And in that time, it's funny how life works, how life works, because I was led from one thing to another where eventually I thought, well, and looking back at the last 10 years of my life prior to that point, what was missing? What was the thing that maybe I had missed, despite the fact that I had put all this hard work into building the life that I had? And I pretty much came up empty. I was not even back to square one. It was minus 10 because I had no more job, no money, debt, really nothing. And eventually I thought to myself, okay, well, it seems that as I'm looking back at my life, I didn't really pay attention to the spiritual aspect of my life. So then I thought, well, why don't I have my little spiritual experiment and see what's going to happen if I decide to just focus on that and see how life transpires afterwards. So I did. And then every day I decided to have my personal time. At that time I called it the PSP, so the peaceful state process, where I would have my personal time and have that deep time of introspection and just be and try to see what would come. It wasn't easy at first because, well, I didn't really know what it is that I was looking for. But eventually what I ended up experiencing was that sense of inner peace. And I would have some specific steps that I would take during that spiritual time. And I would experience that inner peace. And the thing that was very interesting, once I would experience inner peace, it would feel very easy to have clarity in terms of what my next steps should be. And then I thought, huh, that's interesting. So I went on this spiritual experiment for literally maybe three, four years, where every day I made that time a priority. As soon as I would wake up, that's what I would do before doing anything else. And as I did that, things just became clearer and clearer, even in terms of, okay, what was the next step that I needed to take? And the idea about, while writing the book, the purpose roadmap, and thinking, okay, that was a time for me to really take everything that I had experienced and pass it on to someone who could be going through the same challenges. So at that moment, it became very clear. And even though it was very clear, it was still not easy, because this process was such a slow process in terms of taking the next step and getting my life back together. So it also helped me develop a tremendous amount of patience, because, as you know, a lot of us would like for things to happen yesterday. So starting inwards, and even when I work with clients, that's the first thing that we work on. And that's the first question I ask them. Do you have time just for yourself at the beginning of the day, before the world wakes up and people start needing your attention? Do you have that time? Because that is the most crucial piece.
Nice. So during the morning time, when you were trying to, you know, work on your inner self, what sort of techniques were you using to get deeper within yourself in the morning?
So also, it's not, and you wouldn't know that. So it's not that I was also a newbie in, we'll say, any kind of spiritual practice. By that time, I think I had 5 years of experiencing different types of spirituality. Obviously, let's say, you know, Christian spirituality, or Eastern spirituality. So I already had a sense of how things work. But during that time, when I decided to really see what could be done, some of the steps that I would follow were very, very simple. And now it has evolved to a place where it can be implemented by someone who's, let's say, more of a spiritual person, or someone who is more of a religious person. And, you know, they have, let's say, they typically rely on, let's say, the Bible or whatever else to help them with their spiritual awareness. We'll put it that way. So for me, the steps are very simple. The first thing was to get to that place of total relaxation, and I would be in a comfortable position, because I know sometimes people ask, well, you should be sitting, this and that. I say, just have a position that's very comfortable for you. So I would be in a comfortable position that would facilitate me going inwards. And I would also focus on my breath and really slow down my breath, but to the point where I would not control my breath anymore. I would allow my breath, my breathing pattern to take over, my body to take over, and allow it to do what it needed to do. So it would, I guess, in a way, reset itself. And that would really get me to that deeper place of, you know, call it centeredness, groundedness, that place of being. And then at that point, early on, what I would do, and I'll share a bit later, that's really very much a practice that has evolved over time. But at that time, what I would do, I would grab. So at that time, actually, I grabbed the Bible, because one of the things that I wanted to experiment was a bit more context. I really wanted to see how to best live my life. And the best reference that I had at that point was, well, Jesus, right? The way that he interacted with people, the way that his spirituality was, the way that he saw the world. So I kind of wanted to learn about the man. So during that time, I would grab the book and just read about his story. And I would just read maybe a paragraph and try to understand, well, why did he act the way that he did, you know, during that particular scenario? And then I would just reflect on it. And then some answers and insights would come up. And those are the things that I would draw down, because I found that they would relate to what's happening in my life at that time. And once that would be done, what I would do is really allow the insights to seep in and seep through all of me, and just remain in that place of being and take whatever notes I needed to take. And then I would usually know, okay, what would be my next steps for the day. After that, I would again just really feel the amount of peace that would come up. And then what I would do is just finish with gratitude. Just be grateful for whatever is happening in my life, the things I was looking forward to. And that's how I would wrap things up. So earlier I mentioned this, my practice has evolved since then. So for instance, now when I teach the people that I work with, I have variations that can be adapted to both. So now at this point of my life, I do not use the book anymore. Why? Because what I've realized is that at the end of the day, the spiritual practice that we have in the morning, and we can use whatever term resonates with us, the outcome of that is to get us to a place of inner peace. It's a place of inner peace that can allow us to have the clarity that we need to have, that can be applied to our lives in terms of what we need to do next and get that clear direction. So now I can get into that state instantly. Even as I speak, I can put myself in that state and I'll have the clarity that I need. So now what I mention to people is, especially for those who are spiritual and non-religious, I recommend find yourself a book that will allow your soul, your spirit to be free. Because, well, as human beings, what do we have? We have our body, we have our mind, and we have our spirit or soul, however someone wants to put it. We can be really good at feeding our body, right? And exercising and eating the right food, etc. Mentally, we can be really good at feeding our mind. So intellectually, the books that we read, the things that we get exposed to. However, what I've found is that we are missing sometimes the right way to feed our spirit or our soul. So we need to find, I refer to them as more spiritual readings, because they not only influence the way that we think and the way that we relate to one another and the way we connect with ourselves and even, you know, the higher power around us, but it really allows us to expand on our spiritual way of being. So that's why, you know, for those who are more spiritual, I recommend find a book that is going to nourish your soul, that you can really digest some of its content. And see how it can also help your life, but you can still follow the same process that I've laid out earlier. And yeah, those are the very simple steps. You know, it doesn't have to be long in the morning. You can start with, you know, 10, 15 minutes. But what I find is that because people love the feeling of it so much, they end up expanding the time. You know, I've done them early on for as long as an hour and a half, sometimes, because once you get the mechanics, I've spent maybe just 5 minutes doing them. So it all depends on someone. Do what feels really right for you, and just allow you to be taken on that.
Love that. Yeah, I've started doing that, kind of something similar for like the last year. Waking up in the morning, meditating, writing my journal, writing gratitude, and doing breath work. And like after a year of doing that, I don't feel anxiety as much as I used to anymore. It's like, and when I do, I can easily like push it away and claim that inner peace space. So what you're saying is very incredible. I think if listeners aren't doing that right now, they should definitely try it. And you brought up a good point about how our society kind of focuses on the mind and body part, right? And they're always kind of, it tends to ignore the spiritual part, right? There's like a movement to kind of like be scientific and agnostic. So then like rationally, a lot of people are kind of like shunning that side proactively. Yes. So I wanted to bring that up because you mentioned in the book that many of us are living based on our ego, right? Ego-based living. And can you talk more about how that manifests in our society and how it affects us as individuals? And what is the, I guess, what are some of the issues of living based on our ego, and what does it even mean?
Yes. Well, the biggest issue with that, I would say, is the fact that, simply put, it knocks us out of our center. You know, that place within ourselves where we are our core self. And we just know what are some of the things, whether consciously or unconsciously, we just know what are the things that just align with who we are. So now taking it to society and everything that we're surrounded with, well, let's take a look at, you know, commercials and all the influences that we have from influencers, celebrities, you know, all the things that really tell us what is going to make us happy, that really are not going to make us happy long-term and sustainably. So I'm not saying that, you know, there are things that we should not pursue, because at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer that whatever goals we set for ourselves, it's not so much about the goal, it's about the person that we become in the process of reaching that goal, right? We're all about growth, just like anything around us, trees, you know, everything. Life is about growth. The one thing that we have to pay attention to and be careful of is to make sure that as we pursue those things, that literally we don't lose ourselves. Because how many examples can we find around us where people pursue quote unquote success, but they're miserable, right? Or from an outsider's perspective, it looks like they have everything, but they are miserable. So that's the thing that we get bombarded with, some of these, we'll call it mainstream messages, that really feeds the ego. So my definition of the ego would be that part of us that doesn't feed our spirit and soul in the healthiest ways possible. And ultimately, if we do follow, we get on a more self-destructive path, whether it's a quick one or one that is slow to really erode us and impact us negatively. So that's my definition of ego, and unfortunately how we are influenced by our society. And because of that, we get knocked off on our path, that path that deep down we know, okay, if we were to follow that path, we would have the level of fulfillment that we want to have. We would make the kind of contribution that we want to make. We would even make decisions that would sit well with ourselves, even if they would not sit well with others. So those are some of the dynamics that I've seen, and I really help people to get on that path, because we want to live in a way that is sustainable for us, obviously, but also in a way where it's sustainable for us, but also for the people and the causes that we are connected to.
Nice. So if, you know, for many of us who are living in like a ego-based mindset, what can we do to kind of like take a step back and realize, oh, 99% of my day is like spent in ego living. What can I do to recognize that and step out of it to kind of be more centered and connected with our consciousness or spirit or soul, however you want to call it?
Yeah, no, a big part is really paying attention to the negative impact that whatever we're doing has obviously on us. And that really comes with being really honest with ourselves, really looking ourselves in the mirror, no bullshit. There's no one else in the world, talking to ourselves and asking, okay, am I really happy with what I'm doing now? Am I really happy with the way things are set up in my life now? Am I really fulfilled? How do I feel at the end of the day after doing whatever I've done, or after, you know, interacting with, you know, the world, the people around me? How do I feel? I believe that these are some good clues that can really tell us that, you know what, something may be off and some adjustments need to be made. It doesn't necessarily mean that we need to stop doing what we're doing, because sometimes it's just a matter of realizing that it's how we go about doing things. So someone can have the same job and, you know, they can look at their job and really feel that this is the worst thing that they're doing. But if after reflection, they realize that, you know, me having this job allows me to, let's say, feed my family, or it allows me to really contribute to a cause that I really believe in, and this job really helps me expand and grow, now their perspective has changed. So they go, you know what? Actually, I really enjoy this job. So sometimes it's not about necessarily changing the logistics. It's just a matter of change of mindset and just going about the same thing that we're doing, but doing it differently or going about it differently. So that's one thing to pay attention to. And if we're doing something and we're realizing that, you know, we get broken down, we get to hit those spells of, you know, depression and anxiety, clearly something is off. So we have to pay attention to those things. And I think the big thing for a lot of people, and believe me, myself included, I mean, that's why I think around 2018, I hit a horrible patch of depression and anxiety. Fortunately, I was able to come out of that, but it's because I ignored the signs, and we have to pay attention to those things.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, in like a ego-driven sort of life, you know, the focus are based on like material things and chasing after material things and competing with others, right? Mm-hmm. So going back to the topic of purpose, do you think it's possible to kind of like work towards our purpose and figure that out if we are just living in like an ego kind of mindset? Or is the spirituality part of it like a necessary requirement in order to kind of find our purpose?
I love that question. Oh my goodness. You know, it's, you know, internally, within ourselves, we have this, there is a battle that is raging. You know, you bring up the ego, for instance, and then, you know, if we think of it, I think in the book I mentioned something about, you know, the way that we live our lives. It's either, you know, there's a point where it's 80% ego and then, you know, 20% our core self. Well, this is the tug of war that I'm talking about. And yes, there's a point of our life where we may be, we'll say, we just go on autopilot and we're just going about our lives and feeding our ego. However, there is that place, and sometimes can be brought up by life circumstances, where we are brought to a halt and we have to reconsider things and reassess things. And once we have that awareness, this is where we have a choice to make. Do we keep on living the life that was more ego-fed? Or do we try something different? And this is where now we can think in terms of really my core self. What is my core self? How can I get back to just me? And at that point, taking the steps to flip things, where it becomes more having a life that's 80% driven by our core self, our authentic self. And then, you know, the ego will always be there, but it's how do we minimize it along the way as we get to grow. So it becomes 80% again, you know, core, and then more like 20% ego. And obviously, as we get better at, you know, living with ourselves and showing up in life in a more authentic way, that's the term that nowadays, yeah, less room is made available for the ego, so to speak.
Yes, I like that. So given how our society is dominated by the ego-based mindset, for those who kind of like stepped out of that and are stepping into this, you know, new path, I guess, where they're trying to connect with their core, and then there's like a disconnect between what they're feeling on the inside and what society is like dictating that they need to feel and think instead. And there's like a struggle, right? Like, I don't quite fit in here now. So, and then they might end up feeling kind of isolated, or, you know, going on this strange journey on their own and they don't know how to navigate it. What kind of advice do you have for someone like that?
The advice I would have would be, well, the first thing that I would share with them is that, well, for one, congratulations to realizing that this is the path that you want to take. And that's the start. And you're about to embark on a beautiful, amazing journey. Not necessarily going to be easy, but you're going to like the path so much more than the alternative. And the one thing I would say is, you know, that's part of the journey to really get to that place where we free ourselves of the external validation that we've been accustomed to living by. You know, whether it's you know, growing up from family, you know, friends, neighbors, you know, at school, teachers, all of that, at work, society in general. And it's very much about, again, just going inward and reconnecting with ourselves and really realizing what is really important to us. What is so important to us that even if the world said, you know what, no, we would still say yes. What is so important to us and what matters to us so much that if we were in our deathbed today and we looked at our lives, you could say, you know what, I was able to say no to all these things and push back on all the validation, external validation and, you know, demands that were put on me for these very few things that only mattered. I believe that's the game changer and what to really focus on. And then to really have the courage to build that muscle, to be able to just stand within that, that truth within ourselves, that we become that, that oak tree, that even if there's a storm of life around us that happens, we're still there, unmovable. So that's the muscle to develop over time and really own it and feel proud to, yeah, just be stronger in that position.
I see. Great. Thank you. Where would you say you are at on your journey towards your purpose? Have you found it, working towards it? Are you living it?
Oh man, I'm in the middle of it. I'm in a very beautiful, beautiful stage at this point. Even this last year, you know, 2020, well, particularly 2021, well, 2020 leading into 21 with COVID happening, that was another great moment for me to be able to reconnect at a deeper level with myself and put myself in a bubble. I think it was one of these rare opportunities that we get in our lifetime to be able to literally be in a bubble where the world stops and it's just you and your thoughts and making the decision to really go deeper. And I took the chance to do that. And coming out of it has been so wonderful because, yeah, I mean, more than ever, I feel so free, overflowing with just happiness and peace. And earlier I mentioned how we can show up in, I really feel like I'm at a place where I'm just, the only validation that is important to me is my internal validation, but it's not from a selfish perspective. Because what I'm driven by this value of contribution and understanding that my ability to really make the kind of difference I want to make, not necessarily in the world, but starting with myself, then, you know, my family, my siblings, my parents, my friends, strangers that I meet, anyone, like for me, I want to be a light. So that's my driving force. And when I focus all of my efforts in that, so within myself to be, I'm finding myself in a place where I'm just really, best word I can use is just floating through life and just living. That's the first time ever that I really feel that I'm just living life. And as much as, yes, I have responsibilities, I feel like there is such an ease with which I'm just able to just attend to them and enjoy life in general and people, that it's a very, very beautiful place to be in.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I can totally relate with the whole COVID situation, me going through my personal inner journey to get to a place of where I am now, feeling very at present, at peace, and just happy in general. Yeah. It's a wonderful feeling. So I'm very curious. I want to take a step back and get to know you a little bit more. And hear more about your background, your journey, your life story. Like, how did you get to where you are today? Can you start by sharing where did you grow up?
Yes. So So originally I'm from the Congo, even though I never lived there. So it used to be called Zaire, so ex-Zaire. And at the age of one, my family decided to move away. So my father at the time was pursuing his studies, his master's in Belgium. So he moved us there. And then from there, was very fortunate to get his dream job working for the government. So naturally, you know, every so often, every year, he would be reassigned from one country to another. So because of that, I was fortunate to live in places like, so I mentioned Belgium, obviously, and then after that, Tunisia, Morocco, where I actually spent the most, well, actually not now anymore, but at the time, I had spent 10 years living there. And then when I finished high school, one of my big dreams was to go study in the States and hopefully play basketball too. So I ended up moving to the States and just went to school in Vermont. I ended up playing basketball too, interestingly enough. So that was a great dream come true. And we did some fantastic things with that. And after that, you know, because I had been so accustomed to just jump from country to country, I was thinking after graduating, you know, where would be next for me? And I decided that Canada would be it. So I ended up moving to Canada. You know, it's funny because even then I didn't want to do things the easy way. I decided to drive cross country. So went to Montreal and then drove across the country to Alberta, Edmonton. And then still, you know, eventually went to live to Vancouver, went back to Edmonton, as I had mentioned earlier. And then here I am now in the Ottawa region. So that's been my traveling and living journey in a nutshell. And it's really through that even my purpose journey started. I call it the purpose journey. It's in university that I first discovered what my purpose was, listening to the Oprah show. And she was interviewing at the time a life coach, and no one knew what a life coach was. But when Oprah had asked her, what is it that you do for a living? The way that she described it, maybe I just had this resonance within myself, and I thought, oh, this is it. Like, I want to help people reach their goals in a way that aligns with their purpose. But, and I think my story can hopefully put things into perspective for the right person, because as much as, yes, in early 2000, I knew what my purpose was, it took me eight years for me to launch my coaching business, because at the time, being an international student in the States, you couldn't start a business. So I had to wait. So that was 8 years. And then even after that, it was another couple of years before I really focused my business into the idea of purpose and really serving people with that in mind. And I mean, even now, I mean, it's what, 2021, you know, I went through another layer of going deeper within that and being in a position where, because of all the experience I've accumulated and all the lessons I've learned, all the challenges I've had, to really serve people at a deeper level beyond even the book. So that's been my journey in a nutshell.
Mm. So were you working in other jobs before you became a life coach?
Yes, absolutely. Oh man, my professional career was, if an HR person were to see my path, my professional path, it would drive them crazy, because it would look as if I really jumped from one opportunity to the next. But for me, I mean, there were reasons behind that. So generally speaking, my professional career, some of the areas were very much customer service at the beginning, and then evolved into more sales type positions, and then consultative type positions. And yeah, so that was my professional journey. So when I had launched my coaching business, I had a job at the time, and then it took a while, a few changes of career before really being able to feel like my business could be at a place where it could really serve. And that's why I mentioned to people, life is not linear. You know, as much as, yes, we may know what our purpose is, whenever we do, life is not linear. And one of the things that I feel is so important to know is that as much as we think we will have a certain level of fulfillment based on how we see things happening in our lives, you know, a lot of us do that. You know, I'll be fulfilled when if X, Y, Z happens, for instance, and we have this very clear idea. One of the things that I suggest is, yes, it's good to have that as a starting point, but to also allow room for life to surprise you with what life knows will be a better combination of things for you that will get you what you want in terms of the emotions that you're looking for. right? So as you know, in society that we live in, you know, people may think, oh, the way to go is just to be a full-time entrepreneur, for instance. Well, it may not necessarily be the case, or, you know, a full-time professional. Sometimes it can be a combination of the both, of both, right? Or a combination of other things. So to be open to what can really work for you, because we all have unique lives, that I feel is something that can help alleviate a lot of stress when people are really trying to figure out, oh, well, what is my path? What is my calling? What is my purpose? Allow a little bit of room for, I call it the surprises of life.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing that. So earlier you were talking about a pivotal moment in 2012 when you were going through a relationship breakup, and that was like a really pivotal moment for you to kind of step into your purpose, right? Yes. Can you share more about, like, how did you get from the bottom back to where you are today? Like, what were the first few steps that you took? And you also mentioned you had some sort of spiritual awakening journey around that time. Is that correct? And
yes.
Talk more about how that happened and what it felt like.
Yeah. Oh, being at that place where you feel like you are at the bottom is, for me, I still remember it. It's so vivid. It's the worst feeling, because you literally feel like you've built this castle of a life, and suddenly someone just went through and just demolished everything. So you have to build everything back up. You know, again, the thing that really made a difference was having that spiritual time in the morning. And on top of that, I would say be super patient. Just develop my ability to be patient, because things were naturally moving so slowly. It was so painful. So there's that. And then the other thing is really allowing myself to accept the idea that I was buying time until things will get to wherever they would be. Because during this process, you know, and that's talked a lot about in spirituality, is the idea of having faith. Having faith was something that was really, really powerful and helpful for me, because the ability to know that things will be okay, obviously, as long as you do your part, things will eventually turn out. That is something that was really helpful for me. And you know, when I say I was buying time, so naturally, as I was looking to climb back up, you know, when there was opportunity to have a job, I would take that, because we still have to live. I use the expression, we either have two choices to make. It's either we fight or we fold. And that's the thing that I would tell myself every day whenever I would hit those rough patches. Okay, Mick, are you going to fight or are you going to fold? It's binary. There's no gray area. So that was really helpful for me. And then, again, back to the patience, because some of the answers that I got in terms of the next steps that I need to take took a little while to come. So I had to realize that, you know what, I just had to focus on what I could control and let go of the rest, and just have faith. Those are really the element that helped throughout. And you know, just to be optimistic, because life can hit us really hard at times. And for myself, that's something that really kept me going. Because again, that's the only thing that I could really control. So this is how I managed to get back to where I needed to get back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were you already a life coach at that time, or that was before that you became one?
Let's see. At that time, So in a sense, yes, I was already a life coach, because, you know, I understood the concept of coaching and life coaching. I had all of the tools within myself to be able to coach someone, and obviously, you know how to and learn how to use those tools for myself as well. So that was there already.
But it wasn't until like later that it became something that you do like a full-time basis, right?
Yes, absolutely. Much, much later. And let's see, there's something I was thinking about here. You probably get it. Come back to me. Later. Oh yeah, you were talking about the awakening, mm-hmm. spiritual awakening. So the spiritual awakening was very interesting, because as I was doing this spiritual practice every morning, one of the things that I would notice was, You know, when we think in terms of the idea of power and force, there are ways that we can go about living life where we just pushing and we're going, you know what, I have to make X, Y, Z happen. I have to make it happen. And I really felt that before that time, that's how I went about living life. So the awakening for me was afterwards realizing, okay, the idea of power and force, there is one way to live life where we are just, you know, it's almost like sailing and, you know, in the water. If you manage to find where the current is, how much effort do you have to put into navigating the boat, right? You can just put yourself where the current is and you can just allow the current to take you where it needs to take you. Of course, you can, you know, still have your hands on the wheel and direct. Same thing with the wind. If you're sailing, if you know where the wind is blowing, you can really catch it properly and then boom, there's less effort put into getting you where you want to be. So that for me was the biggest thing. So as I was doing this spiritual practice, I realized that, hey, there's almost, and this is something that might be a little tough for some people to understand, but the way I like to put it is, so before I get into it, think of it this way. Fishermen, for instance, or people who spend a lot of time in the water, surfers, right? Just by them putting their hands in the water, they get a sense of where the water is going and where the current is going to take them, maybe the kind of wave that's coming. They have that feeling, right? So for me, what I realized is that life is the same way. Life has a current. There's a feeling that we can develop to kind of feel where life is taking us, you know, how can we catch certain currents? And that was made possible by the amount of time that I spent during that spiritual time, because that really helped me be more in tune with, I want to say, life itself. And that's why, because of that inner peace, I was able to get some of that clarity in terms of what it is that maybe I should be next. So that for me was one of the biggest awakening, a spiritual awakening, understanding that current of life and really being attuned to it. And because of it, I'll use my example now. When I feel things coming or happening, I have less stress because, again, just like a fisherman or a surfer, you have an idea of where things are going, so you can position yourself accordingly to make the most out of the situation, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, totally. I can totally relate to that. Now, like, I do see myself, my life, as if I'm sailing down a river. And before I went through this journey myself, I looking back, I was probably like attached to the bank or something, or trying to control it too hard. So I wasn't letting myself flow. And now that I am, is like, yeah, one serendipitous positive thing happens after another, like us connecting, like, how did this happen, right? So, And then just letting it flow to see, you know, who knows what would happen, you know, with the next few currents, but life is flowing right now. And
the words, yeah.
So before we get to the lightning round, you gave us a lot of great insights on finding our purpose. So I just want to ask this to kind of maybe summarize everything that you've laid out so clearly. So what kind of advice would you give for those who are trying to figure out the purpose?
The first thing I would say is really feel happy with the fact that you even want to know what your purpose is. Because just the fact of doing that is going to lead you to that place where you should be. So that would be the first thing that I will say. It always comes back to the process. It's not about the destination. It's the process and the journey.
Great. And for those who are, you know, they know what their purpose is, right? Mm-hmm. But they're too afraid to step into it. What sort of advice would you give for them to get there?
Just jump in the water. You know, the analogy of the pool, right? You feel that the pool is maybe a little cold. You're just putting your toe in there. Hey, you just have to jump in it. One of the big reasons why is because you really want to live to regret it. If you don't, that is a powerful feeling. I don't know a lot of people who want to live with regret. So just jump into it. It's an adventure. You know, as much as, yes, I've gone through my ups and downs and there have been a lot of setbacks and challenges, I wouldn't change a thing. Honestly, I would not. So that would be my advice. Just jump in it and see where it takes you. Follow the crumbs.
I love it. So such a simple, powerful advice. All right, now we're going to get into our lightning round where I'm just going to ask you a bunch of short rapid fire questions. You can answer
as you want. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, before we get into that, I think something that's very important for people to know when it comes to their purpose, mm-hmm. you know, we see a lot of, you know, especially online and when we talk to people really want to know what their purpose is. And even sometimes people know their purpose and they really want to hang on to it. My advice is that to not be so attached to what you think your purpose is. So there can be one stage of life where you feel pretty certain about what your purpose is, but the reality is it's not for all of us that we are supposed to maintain that same purpose throughout our lives. There can be iterations and a process of refinement that goes along the way. So to be okay with the fact that that purpose or this idea of that purpose statement that we may have can evolve over time. That's something that I feel is very important for people on that path to remember.
Yeah. Also, like, one purpose could lead to another too, right?
Yeah. A bigger one or a different one. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So that's great advice. Thanks for adding that. All right. So you ready for the lightning round?
Let's do it.
All right. What is one thing you like to do to relax?
You know, these days, yeah, just chill at the beach.
Nice. What is one thing you like to do for fun?
Dancing, particularly Cuban salsa.
Oh, awesome. What is one thing that makes you enthusiastic?
Going somewhere where I don't know anyone and I'm going to meet new people. So social circumstances, events, whatever it is, getting to meet new people.
Great. That wouldn't be mine, but... I love it.
That's hilarious. I know it's, and believe me, I know it's not the easiest thing to do, but I don't know. I'm one of those kind of adventure seekers and I just love that thrill. So maybe that's why I'm so different.
What is one habit you always do for a great day?
For a great day?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So I have this thing that I call my Buddha bell. And I ring the thing. So actually, hold on. I have it right here with me. So whenever I'm having a good day or something good happens during the day or something I want to celebrate or I'm feeling amazing and I just want to solidify that moment, all I do is, and that's my celebration.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm going to try that. What is one habit you are working on right now?
One habit I'm working on right now. So that's an interesting one. Let's see. So I'm working on being able I'm working on being better at just sharing very captivating stories on the fly. So think of it almost like, you know, improv performers or stand up, like improv. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm actually working on right now, just to be able to just on the fly, just be able to come up with captivating stories to share with people. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess maybe it's my desire to just add this extra thing so I can better connect with people and have people better connect with me. And just so we can just co-create just a fantastic encounter when we are one another.
Wow. Well, I can see you've been doing a lot of practice. This is like, you're doing such a great job with that. What is the most important lesson you've ever learned? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Just be humble. Yeah, that's, I would say that's it. And especially now, yeah, just realizing that, you know, that life is very, very simple. And yeah, that we really should not make it more complicated than it is. It just comes down to some very basic things and yeah. And really being humble about it really allows me to just have a much richer life.
Yeah. What are those basic things?
Well, it starts with ourselves. I believe getting to that place where you are just so in love with who you are, a place where you've embraced everything about who you are, where you as the I, where I can really express all parts of myself I always have a tough time with this word, unapologetic, but always still within the context of making sure that it doesn't hurt others, right? You know, there's always has to be a benefit for others. So I can be doing this for purely selfish reasons. So that's my philosophy. So yeah, really embracing everything about myself and allowing myself, all of myself, to be shared with the world, people around me. So that's one of the first thing. The other thing is, again, just talked about in those, you know, all these spiritual books, to really love one another, to really see ourselves as, you know, you are me, I am you. And that's it. And the third thing I would say for myself, that's one of the personal decisions that I have made for myself, to always find ways to give, to always be some sort of light to someone. That's it. Yeah. So for me, that's how I see it.
It's beautiful. Thank you. What's a book that changed your life?
A book that changed my life. Well, but I'm going to have to hand it to, well, that dark time, you know, 2012, 2013. For me, it was really reading the New Testament and the story of Jesus and really seeing what kind of man he was. And yeah, because for myself, I really felt that there were some nuggets in there that really helped change the way that I was, the way that I approached life, the way that I would connect with people. That for me was the seed. And the way that I am now, I think, is definitely a result of, yeah, that spiritual experiment that I went through at that time. And in no way, I guess, I want to portray myself as this religious person, because I've considered myself actually more of a spiritual person than anything else. Again, strangely enough, and maybe that can be a bit of controversy for your podcast and people who would hear it, but as I read the story of Jesus, for me, I really saw a person who was just spiritual, who really was about the people, just doing the right thing, being compassionate, showing empathy. So I learned a lot from this man as he was portrayed in the New Testament. So I would say I would have to hand it to that.
Is there like one particular story in the New Testament that really resonated with
you? Yeah, there is one, actually. Not that you mentioned it. There was one, the one where I believe it was a situation where people wanted to harm a sex worker, I believe. And everyone was asking him to actually, you know, do the deed to make her pay or punish her, and overly paraphrasing, right? And his answer, it's just such a simple answer. And he said to everyone around him, whoever has never done wrong, throw the first stone. And I even have chills just thinking about it, because that says so much. I mean, you know, we almost are in a society where there's this idea of perfection, right? And some people are so quick to jump on other people's throats for something that they said that was out of place according to them, or there's always a reason to find ways to attack one another. And if we would just look at ourselves and really realize we are not even perfect, I'm not even perfect. How can I put myself in a place where I am going to judge someone else, right? So just that one answer for me is just so powerful. And that's a story that sticks out for me.
Wow, yeah. I love that. Thank you. So if you're not doing what you're doing today, what would you be doing instead?
Oh, man, in another... You know, there's... I think I would give a stand-up comedy a go. I just love the idea of just creating stories that just brighten people's days, that make people laugh. I really admire those comedians and the way that they are able to make us laugh, and to maybe get a bit of that shine so I can spread a bit of that dust onto others would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, now that things are reopening back up.
Mick, coming to you live.
And how would you define your ideal life?
My ideal life. For me, my ideal life would be one where I just I just feel like my spirit is free, open, and unleashed. And I'm just moving through life that way, really trusting that everything is going to be okay. And really allowing, you know, God, life to surprise me. That's how I would describe it.
Great. And how do you define purpose?
Purpose. For me, purpose is that one thing that we can look back at and say, this is what I was put on this earth to do. Yeah. And you can really, you know, and end your life in peace because you know that this is what you were able to live. And obviously leave the positive impact of it behind.
Mm, very well said. And lastly, do you have any requests you would like our listeners to do?
Requests. Let's see. Well, you know, I would say, you know, we are on this purpose journey together. For me, it's such a privilege to be able to share everything that I've learned and just compact all of my experience into some very key principles that someone can really use to get there, to get wherever they want to be. So I would say I would invite listeners to join the Purpose and Fulfillment community, which is on Facebook at this point. It's free to join. And my commitment is very much to be able to offer value through that. And it's the starting point. Yeah, so we can just connect, have these interactions and see where it leads. So this is what I would say I would recommend, because, hey, it's nice to get into a community where people get you and you don't feel like you're crazy because you're feeling that, you know, you are on this particular path. People understand. And I think it was very important that I created this space for people like us.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to join and then I'll also add a link to the show notes so people can check it out. So where can people find you?
Well, these days, I would say Facebook is the number one place to find me, definitely. Yeah, I spend most of my time there. When I do spend my time there, because I'm more spending time outside living.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mick, for being a part of a Work in Purpose podcast. It was such an amazing conversation. Thank you for sharing all your insights and stories.
Oh, you're so welcome, Wang. And yeah, it was a pleasure connecting with you. I was so looking forward to that. And I'm really happy that you're doing this because I can just see people gravitating to the stories that you share, the conversation that you're sharing. So yeah, just keep on doing that. And I'm really glad that we had a chance to connect serendipitously.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much. We'll definitely keep on sharing more stories. Sure.
Wonderful.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode with Mick Lolikonda and that you have a bit more clarity on how you can chart out your purpose roadmap. If you'd like to find out more about Mick, you can check out the links in the show notes. And if you'd like to support this podcast, please subscribe, tell your friends about it, and rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you're new to this podcast, welcome. I encourage you to listen to our past episodes. Thank you so much for listening. May your present moment, now and forever, be filled with light, love, and joy. Until next time, this is Wing, and you are listening to A Work in Purpose.